You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is your host, Corbin Smith, for Locked On Seahawks, joined by Nick Lee. Glad to have you listening in. We've got a fun episode on tap. Nick and I are going to put our general manager hats on, and we are going to compete against each other with dueling mock drafts. We're going to see who can be the best general manager with just three draft picks to start off with. Really looking forward to that. This episode is brought your way courtesy of Rock Auto. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. It's crazy that we're still talking about this, Nick. We are now a month away from the draft, less than a month away from the draft. And yet there are still a few rumors flying around. I know Diana Russini of ESPN most recently being the most recent reporter that indicated that the window was still open for the Seahawks to potentially trade Russell Wilson. I'm not sure why at this point that we're still having this discussion for the 2021 season, because it seems to me like if that was really what the Seahawks were motivated to do, to move their franchise quarterback, they would not have made several of the moves that they made over the past 2 weeks. I would think that they would be stripping this team down to nuts and bolts and rebuilding. And yet that's the exact opposite of what they have done to this point.
Yeah, the team would absolutely be behaving much differently if they were still planning on hitting the reset button at quarterback. And that's what you're doing if you're trading Russell Wilson, not just on your quarterback, on your franchise, if you trade Russell Wilson. I know there's maybe a couple guys previously Deshaun Watson. I don't know anymore. But a couple guys that you could maybe trade for that wouldn't quite be a reset. But anyway, you know, you don't extend Tyler Lockett. You trade him for draft picks if you are hitting the reset button. You don't go out and get a Gabe Jackson to shore up the interior offensive line. You don't make cap room to make other moves to bolster your current roster. You make moves for the future. And as you mentioned, with three draft picks, the Seahawks have not made very many moves towards the long-term future. They have mortgaged and continue to mortgage a bit of the future for the now. And you don't do that if you're planning on getting rid of your quarterback. So this could be coming. Another angle to take is a smokescreen from a different team. I don't know if it's, you know, jockeying for draft. I don't know how that would affect the draft anyway, but, or smokescreens for other quarterbacks they want to trade for or something like that. This could be coming from a different team to kind of, you know, send them on a wild goose chase or a red herring or something like that. That's the only other angle I could take. But really, I think that this ship has not quite sailed in the open seas, but it has certainly left port and it's starting to disappear on the horizon.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way of summarizing this, because I do think that there's still the opportunity that this could be revisited next offseason. I know that's not what the 12s want to hear, but if the Seahawks do not improve upon last season and advance further in the playoffs and pass protection is not better for Russell Wilson, then I do think those frustrations are going to boil over to the point with only 2 years left in his contract that he may push some buttons saying, I want out. And the Seahawks may decide at that point, it is time for us to go on a rebuild. And we know how John Schneider operates. He believes in resetting, not rebuilding. So maybe he would be looking at this as a situation where I am going to stock the rest of my roster up. And then if I do move my quarterback, I still believe I can go out and get somebody that's capable of playing well under center with all the other pieces around them. I just don't think that that would be the ideal way to do it. And I don't see the Seahawks functioning that way. I just don't see John Schneider moving his franchise quarterback and spending a bunch of money and giving up a bunch of draft picks to try to build the roster around who knows who under center, unless they knew they were going to get a top five pick, which now with the 49ers trading up to the number three spot, you're probably not going to be getting the QB you want anyway if you were trying to go that route. So it just seems to me like at this point that ship, maybe it's not completely out in open waters as you've indicated, but I think the ship has sailed at least for 2021. I don't anticipate that Russell Wilson's going anywhere. So this discussion is going to continue until the draft. I anticipate you're still going to have people floating these rumors around. There's going to be talk about Wilson moving. But at this point, I don't see any way that it happens. You don't make a trade when you have four draft picks and give up one of your picks to get a 29-year-old guard in Gabe Jackson. You don't bring in Gerald Everett to give another pass-catching tight end option for Russell Wilson. You don't bring back Chris Carson. I think that's the other move that really jumped out to me. Chris Carson, Russell Wilson was pleading with the Seahawks to re-sign him, and he was pleading with Carson to come back. That move probably doesn't happen if the Seahawks are trying to find a way to move on from Russell Wilson. I just think the entire offseason plan screams everything but we're trying to move Russell Wilson. So that's good news for Seahawk fans. I don't think they have any reason to worry. If the Seahawks go out and add another player like Antonio Brown, I know you and I have been against that, but clearly Russell Wilson is going to continue to be pushing for that until Brown is signed with another team. He's been doing this for a couple of years now, wanting Antonio Brown. If they make another move like that, then it's yet another commitment to their quarterback, whether you agree with that move or not. They are making the moves Russell Wilson wants them to make, and they've made a number of statements to this point that are indicating we're going to do what we can do to please our franchise quarterback. They wouldn't be doing all these things if they were actively trying to move him. I call nonsense at this point. Maybe there was reality to it a few weeks ago, but I think the moves have been made now. Clearly, they are trying to make amends here with their quarterback moving forward. When we come back for the second quarter, Nick and I have been really excited about this all day long. It's time for dueling mock drafts. We're going to lay out the ground rules real quick, and then Nick is going to have the opportunity to pick first, and then I'll have my opportunity in the third quarter. What I'm really looking forward to is the chance to critique all of your selections in the second quarter. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car and truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection. Reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. We have been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness, and we have reached the championship round with cookie dough chunk versus coconut brownie chunk. Two outstanding flavors going for the title. Go to BuiltBar.com or to @bar_build on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Check back to see who won the title match and who will become the best tasting protein bar. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. This is your host, Corbin Smith. Joining me for our Thursday show, Nick Lee. We're covering everything you need to know about the Seahawks, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski. It's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. We've been looking forward to this all day. It was kind of something we just came up with at the last minute, but I had seen a number of big media outlets were doing dueling mock drafts. They were doing it with all 32 teams in the first round. And I thought this would be a really fun exercise for you and me who have a little bit different idea how the Seahawks maybe should move forward this offseason with the draft. And so we decided, why not give this a shot? Dueling mock drafts. And the Seahawks only have three picks to start. So you and I are going to be hard-pressed, just like John Schneider in the real draft, to be able to find impact players, especially with only one pick in the first three rounds. But this is going to be a great opportunity for the two of us to make some different selections, debate a little bit what kind of players the Seahawks will be going for. Let's lay the ground rules here real quick. First off, no repeat players. And I'm going to be the one that's at your mercy because you're going to be the one that gets to conduct your mock draft first. So all the players you pick are completely off my draft board. I'm not going to be able to pick any of those players in my mock draft. A maximum of 6 selections, no more than that. Maybe John Schneider finds a way to work miracles and he gets 7, 8 picks, but we're going to max out at 6 for this exercise. Trade of future picks is allowed. So if you want to move 2022 draft picks, then go for it, Nick. You're allowed to do that. Both simulations will be on the Pro Football Network simulator, and the time limit is no more than 2 minutes per selection. The other person grades your pick instantly. And here's the best part, Nick. We've got an undisclosed bet that has been made before the show, and you, the listener, is going to get the opportunity to vote which one of the two mock drafts that you like best. The winner is going to get a prize. The good thing is it's nothing illegal.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't get me arrested or divorced, we're okay.
And I think we're good. I think our bet was safe enough that we don't have to worry about either one of those things. So without further ado, let's get to it. Let's open up our simulator. And again, we're doing the Pro Football Network simulator. And Nick, you get the first dibs here. And again, a maximum of 6 selections here. We're going to go pretty rapid fire here once we get started. But the worst part is you got to wait a while just because it's the Seahawks.
Yeah, cue the Jeopardy music. And I'm, of course, absolutely looking to trade down first and foremost. If I don't get any offers, I'm still going to go for it. So
you did get one offer, but okay. As you can see here, pick 56, and you're going to be trading back to pick 78 with the Vikings and then getting a 2022 third. I'm sure you're like me in this instance that getting a future pick isn't going to be helpful right now.
No, just for the fun of this exercise, and you know, you're trying to recoup picks for this year because this year is the problem. Now I'm rejecting that. I want an extra 2021 pick. So let's see if there are any other offers.
That's the only offer that's been made by the computer.
No. Okay.
The nice thing is you have the ability to counter.
Okay.
Or you can trade with another team as well.
Let's try countering first because clearly the Vikings are interested. I think 78 is a bit steep, but I'm open to it if they want to be a little bit more generous.
This might be one of those cases where you might ask for 78 and 90 or 78, 119 and a 7th and try to recoup picks.
Yeah, let's shoot for the moon and land amongst the stars, as they say. Let's try for 90. I'm sure it'll be rejected, but let's see. Yeah, I thought so. You know what? I don't want to fall too far. Let's try a different team. Let's look a few, maybe the Jaguars. They always seem to have lots of picks. Let's see if the Jaguars are interested in 60 here. So 60, maybe we could try 130. See if they'll do that. Nope. Okay.
Not interested.
So why don't we try one more thing here with the Jaguars? Let's try the same. So let's try there's 60 and then maybe 133, then maybe sweeten the deal with a 6-round pick for next year. Oh, okay, Jaguars.
The Jaguars just don't want to trade with you.
All right.
You're running low on time here, so you have time to try to trade down one more time.
All right, Packers. Let's try Packers. Let's get them on the phone. They seem to like each other making deals.
John Schneider going back to his old
62. Let's try. Let's go for 142 and then throw in a 6-round pick from next year. Oh, no.
Fine. You cannot get a trade.
Okay.
The only option you might have is seeing if the Vikings have one more thing that they're willing to do.
But you know what? Since I'm out of time, you know, that's the reality of it. The guy that's on the board right now, Trey Smith, I'm a huge, huge Trey Smith fan. I know they just got Gabe Jackson. I know they got Damian Lewis, but I think that they can make room somewhere. I think Trey Smith is going to be a stud. So I think I need to make a pick here. So Trey Smith is one. Another the center, I think Dickerson. Where is it? Yeah, Dickerson, Landon Dickerson. You know what? Let's pull the trigger now. We need our center. We need a center. We need a bad. It's the number one need. Let's do Landon Dickerson, center from Alabama, because you have to get your center. I think that's the most glaring need.
I think that this is one of the players on the board that if he's still there at 56, you have to consider picking him just because that really is, to me, their number one most glaring need.
Absolutely.
On either side of the football. So I'm going to give you a solid A minus on that one. I do worry about his injury history a little bit. He's coming off an ACL tear, but he's made really good progress on his rehab. So the downside is you weren't able to strike a deal to trade down.
Yeah.
So now you're on pick 129. You only have two picks left to work with here.
I got to try to trade down. I know it's not as sexy in the later rounds, but let's try to see if the Vikings are open for business on in this round too. So yeah, let's go to 134. Let's see what if 199, and then let's throw in that six round pick for next year. I'm still willing to dangle that.
So you get to move back a few spots now.
Okay. Got four picks. Here we go. No, I don't want to swap pick for pick. I'm looking to recoup picks.
Well, you could try to counter here, though.
Yeah, let's try countering with the Bucks. I think that's a good one. So let's counter, and I'll offer them a let's try the fifth round pick first for next year. That might be not enough, but let's see. Oh, okay. Thanks, Tampa Bay.
All right. You get another chance to move down with the Rams right now and get pick
209. Let's see who's on the board.
That would put you at your maximum of six picks.
You know what? There's someone on the board I've been keeping my eyes on, so I might reject this and take this pick. Keith Taylor, cornerback from Washington. I like a lot of what I see from him. I think he's got the length. I think he's got some Seahawk-y corner traits. A little raw, obviously, when you're down on the board this long. So, but I'm going to get my corner that can compete for a starting spot. You lost Shaquille Griffin. You have some unknown commodities there at corner. So let's take him in this round.
So right now you've added a center and you've gotten a corner. So you've been able to address two of the biggest needs. And the good news is now that you are in a position where you get three more selections as well.
Yes.
And you still were able to make a selection in the second round. And so you've knocked out two of the big needs. Now here at 176, you're going to have a tougher time now making any moves. This may be a situation where you just have to sit and make picks.
Yeah, and I think I still see some guys on the board I like. So I've gotten the center. I've gotten the cornerback. I'm gonna start looking for other needs, interior defensive line, receiver, you know, looking for that third receiver perhaps. I'm always looking to upgrade the offensive line as well. So we have Sage Surratt, wide receiver. I'm a big Frank Darby fan. I think Frank Darby is going to make some noise in the NFL. I think that's a guy that I'm probably going to look at. And so it might be between Sage Surratt and Frank Darby for me as a receiver. Let's go to the who's on the here we go, Jordan Scott. Now, I think that's a bit of a reach for the remaining defensive tackles. I think I can find some good value later in the draft there. James Robinson, that's okay at the edge position. I'm not looking to draft. I'm probably not drafting any linebackers. I think the Seahawks are pretty set there. Not drafting running back, certainly not this early with re-signing Chris Carson. I think I'm going to go Frank Darby. I think I like the skill set he fits with what the Seahawks already have at receiver with Metcalf and Lockett. I think he complements them.
So Frank Darby being the selection, I think this is an A-minus as well. He's one of my favorite receivers in the middle rounds, and he really fits what Seattle needs, a guy that can break tackles after the catch and is capable of doing some damage downfield as well. And so the Seahawks are back on the clock now at 199. So far, your draft, you've gotten Landon Dickerson. I gave you an A-minus. Keith Taylor, I would give you a B+. I think that's pretty good value at 137 for a big-bodied athletic corner. And then 176, an A-minus for Frank Darby. I think so far, you're hitting a home run here.
All right. Baseball day. I like that reference. So let's go to all the ones available. You know, with having addressed the most glaring needs now, interior offensive line and an extra receiver in a corner there. I might go for value now and maybe the one of the better guys available. So let's see here. We got Bradley King. I'm open to taking an edge player. I think that's one of those positions where you can just never have enough of players. I know that they've re-signed a lot of guys. Tight end's another one that I might look at if I find some good value. I think that a lot of Seahawks fans will roll their eyes if they draft yet another tight end. But, I'm going to – actually, you know what? I'm not sure if it's a reach for Alaric Jackson here at 199. I like his projections. I like that – now he might be a little versatile. And, Brandon Schell and Dwayne Brown are both off the books next year officially. As of now, they have not signed extensions. So if you're comfortable with him playing tackle in the NFL, Alaric Jackson, I think, is a really interesting prospect. You know, the Iowa boys, you know, those guys are mean and nasty in the trenches, well coached. I think I'm going to go Alaric Jackson unless I see anyone higher on that list. Just go up one more time here. Yeah, it might be a reach, but I think I only have 250 after this. So I think I'm going to go with Alaric Jackson. I don't want him to fall. So let's make that our selection and get a little deeper on the edge of the offensive line.
If this was last year, Jackson, if he would have come out of Iowa a year early, there was talk about him maybe being a sleeper first round pick. And then coming out of this year, he just wasn't as impressive. But I'm going to give you a B just because it is a guy that has a lot of upside. He was a top recruit coming out of high school. He's got some good size. There are some fundamental issues he's going to have to work out. So not playing right away is going to be okay from his perspective. He needs a little time to be developed. But I'll give you a solid B on that one. And that puts you back in the clock one last time here at 250. Now, you do have the option to add a sixth pick, either trading down. In this case, you have a really hard time doing that in a real draft. But you could always trade back in for a future pick. You have given up a lot of Seattle's future picks already. So...
Yeah, probably not. I'm probably sticking pat with this. I want to see if there's someone available. A guy named Taron Jackson from Coastal Carolina. I know that you're pretty high on him. I want to see if he's still on the board. There he is. I think that I'm going to take him just as I've addressed, like I mentioned, I've addressed a lot of the glaring needs, and now I might just start stockpiling the pantry a little bit. Taron Jackson, we both agree. I watched him tear apart BYU, who has several NFL offensive lineman coming up in this draft. And he teared up everybody, not just BYU. So I think that he's going to be a very, very solid project piece that, on the edge. So give me Taron Jackson out of Coastal Carolina for my final pick. And I know it's going to kill you because you can't draft him in the third quarter.
It kind of upsets me that I can't take a flyer on him. But at the same time, the Seahawks did just sign Kerry Hyder. And so there's some repetitive skill sets there. For that reason, I'm going to give you a B minus on that pick because I saw a few guys on the list that I think might have had a better chance to play right away for the Seahawks. And that's not that I don't like Taron Jackson, because you and I both know I'm a big fan of his game. I think he's going to be a really solid NFL player. But your draft overall, I'm going to give you a solid B plus, though, because you had a couple of really nice picks. I like getting Landon Dickerson at 56. Keith Taylor's good value at 137. Frank Darby, I think, is an underrated receiver in this class at 176. Alaric Jackson's kind of an under-the-radar guy at this point that hasn't quite lived up to expectations, but with right coaching, maybe he's a starter down the road for you. And Taron Jackson can at least be a rotational piece that can reduce inside playing DT. He can play the five-tech big end position. So you got some good value at a number of different positions. When we return for the third quarter, now it's going to be my opportunity to make some picks here for the Seahawks, and we'll see if my draft can trump yours or whether yours takes the cake. I'm really excited for this. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, Thursday edition. I'm your host, Corbin Smith, joined by Nick Lee. The NFL draft is weeks away. It's time to start following our Locked On NFL draft duo, the Draft Dude podcast. Watches every prospect so that you don't have to. And the Locked On NFL draft podcast is your daily draft news and mock draft podcast. Follow Locked On NFL Draft and Draft Dudes on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. It's time to continue our dueling mock draft competition. Nick, you just had a chance to reel in five draft choices, some pretty good picks, including at 56, getting Landon Dickerson, the center out of Alabama.
Trade down.
Yeah, you only traded down one time. You didn't do a trade down in the second round either, so you were able to still get five picks, and maybe that's what happens with John Schneider. Now, I'm going to roll the dice a little bit. Again, laying out some of the ground rules, I can't pick any of the players that you just picked. So those five players are completely off the board for me. I can get up to six draft picks. You got five, so you almost got to the limit. you were able to add some talent without moving down in the second round. And it's going to be done on Pro Football Network's simulators. So let's get underway with my mock draft, shall we?
Oh,
all right.
Course.
So the nice thing is I get an offer that I'm more than happy to entertain here. I do want to look and see what's on the board here. I see it like five or six players that I'm willing to draft. Yeah. Obviously, I cannot pick Landon Dickerson, but the Texans offering pick 67 and pick 109 in exchange for pick 56. I am going to accept this offer. I'm going to recoup a pick here. That's not too big of a drop off for me going down 11 picks. There's enough guys here with talent that I'm willing to take the gamble because I want to get some picks.
Might say goodbye to Rondale Moore, though.
And I get another opportunity here. The Giants offering 76.
Dang, you got some good ones. I got some crap.
Yeah, apparently I'm easier to work with on the phone than what you are. So looking at, you know, I'm looking at this particular board still. I still see a few guys that intrigue me. But at the same time, a number of talented guys went off the board. That being said, I am going to make the move to roll the dice here. I'm going to have myself a flurry of picks starting at pick 76. No, Eagles, I am not taking pick 84 in a future fourth. I'm done trading down for now. So I'm finally on the board now. I'm going to make a pick at 76. And there are a few guys that really intrigue me that are still on this board. I'm considering Walker Little, the tackle out of Stanford, who at one point looked like he was going to be a first-round pick, but did not play at all last year, and he missed most of the 2019 season with an injury. So it's been a long time since we've seen him on the field. A couple receivers that I really like in Tylan Wallace and Dwayne Eskridge. A couple edge rushers that are worthwhile here as well. There's a couple corners that I like. So this board set up favorably for me for the most part. What I'm concerned about is I was hoping to hit the interior offensive line, and there's not a lot of options that I want to pick this early at that position. So, you know what? I'm going to roll the dice here a little bit at pick 76. I'm going to go with the best player that is available on our draft board right now. And I'm going to go with a corner. I know this is not typical for Pete Carroll this early in the draft, but I am a big fan of Trill Williams out of Syracuse. There's been all the talk about Melifonwu, his teammate. I think Trill Williams is going to be a really good corner if he ends up in the right system, which is a zone-heavy cover three press coverage scheme. Who does that? The Seattle Seahawks. I'm going to get myself a corner here at pick 76 and Trill Williams.
Yeah, and he is a Seahawky corner. He can be physical. He's willing to fight for it. So I think that that's a good pick. I'll give you a B-plus on that one. I know you were disappointed in not getting an interior line, but I think that's a good value there, and you got to address the corner position. So B-plus.
Back on the board now at 109, I have been able to trade down a couple times. So I have 109, 116, 129. I've got a bunch of picks in short order, and then, of course, pick 250. I did get an opportunity again to trade down and recoup one more pick. I rejected it, though, because it would have dropped me way back into the late fifth round. I would rather try to really hit on a bunch of players here in the early to mid 100s, early fourth to middle fourth round. At pick 109, I've added a corner. I feel like the offensive line, you don't want to push the issue, but I have a number of prospects up front that I'm still really excited about. And I think I'm going to have to go with the pride of Georgia here, a player that I think can be a really good center right away for the Seahawks. I wasn't quite willing to pull the trigger at 76, but I'm going to bring in big old Trey Hill, 330-pound mauler. He's got better feet than people realize at his size. He's played top competition in the SEC. If I can get him at pick 109 later this month in the draft, and I haven't already gotten a center, then I'm going to be fired up to have the opportunity to pick him because this guy's a big-time football player that fits Seattle's scheme. I think he can do the zone blocking and the downhill stuff as Mike Solari is going to want the Seahawks to keep doing. So I'm going to go big up front. Trey Hill right away can compete with Ethan Posick for a starting job.
Yeah, he has got, you know, some inconsistencies, which is to be expected later in this draft, but good size, good base, not the nastiest center ever, but I think he's a pretty safe pick. So yeah, I'll give you a safe grade of a B right there.
Nick's being a little bit tougher on me with the grading stuff here. 116 now, my third pick. John Schneider's going to be hoping it unfolds this way later this month, where he's got three or four picks in fairly quick order, because otherwise he's going to be in hibernation with only having three draft picks. So I've added a center. I've gotten a corner. Maybe not the guys that I was initially hoping for, but players that were on my wish list. What I'm most excited about, there are still a number of really good receivers to add to Seattle's receiving stable next to Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Gerald Everett. There's some good tackles that are still on the board, though I don't think I'm going to reach for an heir apparent for Dwayne Brown at this stage of the draft. And on defense, there's a couple of defensive tackles that I really like as well. I'm actually going to go with the defensive tackle because there's some really good value here at 116. You've got a number of players that I really like. I'm going to go after a player that opted out last season but had double-digit sacks 2 years ago. And at 300 pounds, he's a really good athlete. Jalen Twyman out of Pittsburgh is my pick. There's a couple other DTs I like, but I think picking him at 116 is a home run to fill that three-tech position.
I think that's a big need, and you fill that wonderfully. I think that he could really be that next guy that fill in for Jaron Reed. I'm going to give you an A on this one. I just think that that's really good value for where he fell.
And I'm going to make one more trade here. I'm going to go to my maximum picks because the Ravens have offered me pick 131, and I'm at 129. I can go down two spots and add one more seventh-round pick.
Man, am I a jerk in the NFL? No.
Anytime you can get an extra dart to throw the dartboard, it's a good deal. So I'm going to make the trade. And two players that were picked were guys I was not going to select. So now I'm back on the board at 131. You look at what I've added so far. I got a corner in Trill Williams. I got a center in Trey Hill. I got a defensive tackle in Jalen Twyman. It's time now to get that receiver if there's anybody available. And there's a couple guys that I absolutely love still on the board at 131. There's also a couple tackles that I like as well, but I think I've got to go receiver now. I think there's going to be a run coming on some of these guys. Looking at what's available, Shai Smith is one of my favorite receivers in this class. I also like Anthony Schwartz out of Auburn, another speedster. But I'm actually going to go with a small school guy that is an electric route runner. He's not the most explosive athlete, but he runs routes like a 10-year veteran, and he has a nose for the end zone. The pride of South Dakota State, Kate Johnson, is going to fill the slot now for the Seahawks. I love this pick coming in late in the fourth round.
He's got return specialist written all over him too, a speedy guy, and I think he does complement the receiving core well for what they have now. So, yeah, that's a solid A-minus pick for me.
Johnson, if he's available at that point, he's one of my sleepers in this draft, and he played really well at the Senior Bowl. So getting him at 131, that's a really nice pickup to put him against Freddie Swain, maybe John Ursua still in the mix, battling for that number three spot. I think Johnson's got the upside to play some snaps on offense for the Seahawks right away, and he's a good red zone threat. Back on the board at 210, there's a number of ways I could go here. I actually see a couple running backs that I don't mind. I'm not going to go there, though. I've thought about it, but the Seahawks are well set at that position. They could add a tight end. There's a couple tight ends that I like. There's a few edge defenders as well that could make sense for the Seahawks at this juncture of the draft. I might even consider going with a linebacker because they could use somebody to fill the Sam linebacker position. I don't love the players that are still available there. Or I could double up at the corner position. There's a few options. I actually am going to double up at corner because I look at Seattle's long-term prognosis of that position. They only have one player under contract after 2021, and that's Gavin Heslop, who has played in one game in his NFL career. So I'm going to go after a big guy, 6'3", 200-plus pounds, long wingspan, good ball skills. Israel Mukuamu out of South Carolina, a guy that can play the big nickel for you. He can defend tight ends with his size. He'll come up and hit people. Had kind of an inconsistent 2020 season, but if I can get him at 210, which I don't think I'd be able to later this month, but if I could, to me, this is another really good value pick to upgrade your corner depth.
And his body type just kind of screams, you know, raw project that could be a home run. And just with the physicality he brings. He actually has a lot of experience with zone defenses and recognizing routes. I think he's been praised for that. So, yeah, another A-minus pick there. You're starting to make up for it here in the later few picks.
And now I'm going to see if I can finish strong because I'm back on the board at pick 250. And once you get to this point, there's not a lot of separation between the prospects at this point. A lot of your really good players are long gone at this point. There are a few corners that I still like, but I'm not going to be picking another corner at this juncture. There's a few edge rushers, a couple big body defensive tackles that might make some sense, a couple linemen as well. So I'm looking at the tackle group. I don't see anybody that I'm really willing to make a selection on in the seventh round. Tackle's been picked down pretty good. I'm going to get myself one more big body player in the middle of the offensive line, though. So Darius Hutcherson is a player that I think could end up being a really good swing guard in the NFL. And you want to talk about a freak athlete at his size, well over 300 pounds, and he just moves really well. His technique is going to need coached up. So to me, he's a guy that's going to need a year or two before he's able to play significant snaps. But Hutcherson's a player that I've seen anywhere from third round to undrafted grades on. He's all over the board. I'm personally in the group that is higher on him. I think at 250, getting another big body mauler to add depth to the offensive line. We know the injury issues they've had up front. You can never have too many bodies. We haven't been able to see Phil Haynes get out there. So I don't know how much faith you have in him playing. Jordan Simmons has had injuries. He's on a one-year contract. I'm going to go get me Sedarius Hutcherson to bolster that guard depth.
Yeah, Hutcherson's been praised for his pass pro, so you know that's a good pick. And also, you know, anytime you can get a really big NFL-sized guard that's athletic late in the draft, that you're doing something right.
I would have loved to go to the tackle position, but unfortunately, there was just a major run at that spot the first couple rounds, and only having one pick in the first three rounds really limits your opportunities to be able to get somebody that is going to be able to be the heir apparent for Dwayne Brown. And so I'm happy with the draft, considering all things. Trill Williams, maybe a little higher than I would have liked to pick him at 76, but I'm very high on his upside, and I think he fits Seattle's system well. Trey Hill's that big-bodied center that I think can come in right away and push Ethan Posick, if not beat him out for the job immediately as a rookie. Jalen Twyman is one of my fast risers at the defensive tackle position, has a lot of pass rushing upside. If he gets better against the run, could be a longtime starter in this league. You get him at 116, add another receiver in Cade Johnson that can be a weapon in the red zone, a slick route runner. Israel Mukuamu is a project that has a lot of upside at the corner or safety position. And Hutcherson is a player, like I said, third to seventh round grade range for most people. It's a wide range. He is a player that could start eventually in the league. Right now, though, he needs time to develop. Mike Solari is the right coach for him.
Yeah, and you must have a really good relationship with the NFL executives around the league because you got some pretty nice trade offers there. So I won't like dock you.
I know how to slick talk other general managers. Yeah, yes, you do. I was getting some nice deals and you're like, I can't even trade down.
I know. So, you know, I'll give you praise for having really good trade downs. And after, you know, you picked some ones I thought were a bit high. Trill Williams, I'm not as high on him as you are. But still you finished off great with some great value. I think in the end you did meet a few more needs, at least with depth. Like, you know, with Jalen Twyman, I think is a really good pick. I didn't address that as well as I'd hoped. Cade Johnson, I think we're both pretty high on him. Mukuamu, you're pretty darn high on. So, and I actually really like Hutcherson, and he can become that depth guy at guard. If, you know, God forbid Lewis or Jackson go down, you could think, okay, you know, these guys got a couple weeks of camp in him. He's strong. He's big. You know, he can handle his own. He might not know all the techniques yet. He might not know all the plays yet, but he's athletic enough. So, you know, for interest of not wanting a tie, because I think it's pretty darn close to mine, I'm going to give you an A-minus. I'm going to be the gentleman here and give you the W. I think you really did finish strong there with some good value. You were able to trade back successfully, and you were able to use that to your advantage. And, yeah, I think you hit all the buttons that the Seahawks needed to hit.
Now I'm just curious what the 12s are going to think. We will be posting both of these mock drafts for our listeners to evaluate, and then they're going to have a chance one day, so 24 hours, to make a vote. Is Nick's draft better or is my draft better? And, of course, we've got an under-the-table, an undisclosed bet that we've waged against one another. And the winner, obviously, is going to get some sort of a prize. So this was a lot of fun. You can follow me on Twitter at Corbin Smith NFL. Make sure to follow Nick at NickLee51. Be prepared because it's opening day today. Moving forward, probably going to see more Padre stuff than Seahawks stuff. So just warning everyone, you can follow us on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Also, make sure to check out our website, LockedOnSeahawks.com. When we return for our Friday episode, I'm going to be tackling your questions. It's a Friday mailbag segment. Looking forward to answering as many questions as I can. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Go Hawks.